Amen. If the Lord tarries until January the 4th this next year, it will have been my great honor, and more than an honor, certainly a privilege, to have been pastored by the man who's going to preach tonight for 35 years. And I was an 18-year-old young man and moved to Fresno, got a job, had some idea of what Brother Morton was like because he had preached a number of revivals in the church that I got saved in, and he truly made an impact on me, a very, very indelible impression, and affected me tremendously. And so when it came time for me to leave home, it just seemed like Fresno was the place for me to go. My dad called him and asked if it would be all right if I would come to Fresno. There was no work in Fireball, and so where my dad pastored. And so I came to Fresno. I had no idea of the tremendous impact that Brother Morton was going to have upon my life. And you know, when you're 18, it's hard to see very far down the road. But now, in looking back, I can certainly see that the hand of the Lord was in that decision. And I have maintained through the years, I've told him this, I've told Truth Tabernacle this, that I've made a lot of very momentous, important decisions in my life. But I really think outside of the decision to go to an altar, repent of my sins, and live for God, that the second most important decision I've ever made was the decision to move to Fresno and allow Brother Morton to be my pastor. And during the course of that, there are so many things that I have learned. I have been touched by the fact that he is a man of vision, a man of great vision. But vision alone is not enough. He is a man of tremendous burden. And the man that will be preaching tonight, the man that will be preaching, is a man. And I want to tell you, vision by itself is not enough. But vision and burden goes a long ways towards affecting things positively and in a long-lasting way in God's economy. There have been a lot of changes during the course of the many years. And sometimes when all the changes are taking place, it sure feels good to know that it just seems like that elder has got some direction. And it reminds me of the verse in the word of the Lord, 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And if there's a verse that describes Elder Morton to me, I suppose that certainly is one of the verses that would describe him. A man with understanding of the times, to know what Israel or what the church ought to do. And then John wrote in his gospel, the first chapter, the sixth verse. And I know that this is true in my life. It's obviously true to Fresno, to Truth Tabernacle. There are probably many people here tonight that in some way that Elder Morton has touched your life at some point in time in the past. Perhaps even tonight, he's going to touch your life. But John, his gospel says this: there was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I present to you tonight, amen, if I can borrow from that gospel. There was a man sent from God at a time like this whose name is Elder Vaughn Morton. May we worship the Lord. Amen. As a man of God comes to bring us his word tonight.
Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Let's worship him. It's about him. It's about him. Let's worship the Lord. Let's raise our hands and thank God for this conference and all that he's done. Let's give him the glory. Let's give him the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Praise God. If you would open your Bible tonight to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Thank you, Brother Heiler, for those kind words. Thank you. Thank you, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, ministers, for your cooperation, your presence, your prayers, your support of this meeting. Thank you. Thank you, faithful saints from many congregations. It's you. It's your pastors that makes this meeting what it is. And then I want to thank the local church here for their time and their sacrifice. There's folks in our local church that don't get to attend none of these meetings because we have decided that we're the host of this meeting and that we want to do this for other churches and saints that maybe can't have a meeting like this at their place. And we're happy to put this meeting on. We really are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to read tonight from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and a portion of verse 4. And I realize in our young minister's class this morning, this is the very text that Brother Ron Garrett used to talk to the young ministers. And may I say, there was 129 in that class. Some of them were seasoned ministers, but most of them young men that has the blessing of their pastor to be there. And he read this text. And now, many years ago, that would have bothered me. It would have scared me. I'd have thought, I can't do that. But when you get as old as I have and been down the road as far as I have, you say, that confirms to me what I'm supposed to preach. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. You may be seated. And that is my text, and that is my subject tonight. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. 4 years ago was the last time that I preached at West Coast Conference. And I preached that night on the tragedy of a broken home. But I don't feel in that vein tonight. I feel in a totally different vein. And I want to say I appreciate Brother Bertram tonight in leading songs and the way he started this service tonight. And I do realize this is the last night, and sometimes we have a blowout and we run the aisles and we jump, we run, and all of that is right. But there's a different spirit here tonight. There really is. And I want to say before I get started here tonight, I want to give honor I want to give honor tonight to Brother Price. I feel like we should stand. He is not here tonight. He is 88 years old. And he's in poor health. And he's always been here for us. And he's been such a blessing. But he cannot be here tonight. But I want to give honor to him. And I want us to stop right here, right now, and pray for him. Let's pray for Brother Price. Dear God, in Jesus' name, we ask you tonight, God, to touch our elder. To touch Brother Price. Oh God, to heal him, to raise him up. Don't let him suffer. God, have your way. God, have your will. Have your way, have your will in Brother Price's heart. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. I am here tonight as a 70-year-old man. And I am of the passing generation. Like the song says, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done and where there'll be no setting sun. And I thought today, as these young men were preaching. And I want to tell you, these young men that preached in this conference, in these daytime services, done such an outstanding job. Outstanding. And my mind went back tonight to when I wasn't born and I wasn't raised in Pentecost. And all at once, I found myself in the world of Pentecost, and I've never regretted it. And then after spending several years in the home church, with my pastor's blessing, I was 19 years old, and I loaded my car up, and I started on a journey. My first revival, after going full-time as an evangelist, was at Napa with Brother Price. And it's been a 50-year journey with Brother Price and myself. And that's why I am so deeply touched and moved tonight. Because of his health, and he cannot be here. It's been a good journey. But I remember when I was 19 years old, and I started this journey, and I'm going to tell you, it has been a journey. It has been a glorious journey. It has been a wonderful journey. It has been in the will of God. But there has been rivers to cross. There has been mountains to climb. There has been deserts to cross. It has been at times a glorious, wonderful journey. And at times it has been heartbreak. It has been, you might say, bloodshed. I have slept in Sunday school rooms. I have slept in my car. In 9 years of evangelizing in those days, I only stayed in a hotel preaching revival or a motel 2 times that I can remember of. And I stayed in pastor's office. I stayed in preacher's kids' room. That's just the way we done it in those days. But I was happy, and I was in the will of God, and I was doing what was right. It's been a journey. And then, all at once, I'm walking across the stage of life. I was 20, and I thought I got 40 years out there in front of me before I'm 60. And 60 seemed so far away. And 60 seemed so old. And then all at once, I was there. I was there. It didn't take long to get there. And here I am all at once. I'm 60 years old. And I'm on this journey. And I say to myself at 60, I've got 10 more good years. I've got 10 more good years. And before I knew it, I turned around, and there I was. And here I am, 70 years old. I can't believe it. Just back down there, I was just a 19-year-old boy that didn't know anything about Pentecost except what I was taught in the local church. And brother, I was taught good and I was taught right. I had a good man of God in my life. And I remember when he told me, he said, I think you ought to go preach those revivals. And so here I am tonight. Here I am 50 years later. It's been 50 years. 50 years. I can't believe it. And here I am 50 years later. And one generation passes and another generation comes. And I am about in a few days to step out the door. I don't know when, but I'm about to step out the door. But you know how it is when you get ready to leave someplace and you're going out the door, and all at once you look back and you say something. Well, here I am tonight. I'm about to go out the door. I'm 70 years old. But I'm looking back at you, and I'm telling you, before I go out this door, I got something to say tonight. Let's worship God. David said in Psalm 37 and 25, I have been young and now I'm old. And I know there's some of you sitting out there tonight. You're 70 years old. You're plus. But there's not a whole bunch of us, I'll tell you that. And I am the oldest preacher on this platform. And I've been noticing of late when I show up at meetings, I'm the oldest one there. But it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me that all these young men younger than me is sitting here, because I could whoop any of them. And that goes for you too, Brother Gary Howard. You better just sit there and smile. Yeah, I read your mind. I felt your spirit. You don't want to get up. I don't care how you say it. I don't care how you think it. I don't care how you cut it. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how young I look. 70 years old is 70 years old. And David said, I was once young, but now I'm old. David also said in the 90th Psalm, he said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. I'm going to tell you, my story is almost told. You say, Brother Morton, you're getting ready to die. I'll have to keel over before I get through here tonight. But as long as there's breath in me, I got something to say. And then David said, the days of our years are 70. That's what I am. 70 years old. This is Bible. And that's what I am. And then he said, if by reason of strength there be 80, that's 80. I'm 70. I may make it to 80. And I may not make it to 80. But as long as I've got breath, I've got something to say. And he said in Psalm 102:11, said, my days are like a shadow that declineth. Yes, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh. I'm old enough now that they call me elder. That's me. But one of these days, Von Morton will just be a memory. And it's going to happen faster than we think. There will be a generation that say, I remember Von Morton. And some's going to, I hope you have good memories. I hope you have good memories. I hope you remember me giving you a quarter or a dollar or something. Or a pocket knife. I hope you have good memories. I want it to be like David when he said he served his generation by the will of God. I hope that when I get through, that they can say he served his generation by the will of God. Then David said in Psalm 71:18, he said, when I am old and gray-headed. That's what he said. When I am old and gray-headed. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that cometh. Yes, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh. Then in Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. And notice what it says. It said, ask thy father. Ask thy father. I'll tell you what made me feel good today when I thought of, and Brother White mentioned it tonight, these young men. And I'm going to say it like this, but not disrespectful. I can say it, but you can't. When you get 70 years old, you can say some things that you can't say. But these boys, to me, they're just boys. But I respect them as preachers and evangelists and pastors and ministers. Every one of these boys was raised in PSR and West Coast Conference. They're a product of PSR and West Coast Conference. Every one of them. And we got a whole bunch more than that. It said, ask thy father, and he will show thee. And ask thy elders, and they will tell thee. Ask thy elders. But there's too many in this day that does not want to ask their elder. They want to do their own thing. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. We're going to walk the old path tonight. I've been down that road. I know some things that work, and I know some things that don't work. And I know some things that we're going to do and some things we're not going to do. Said, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for the soul. The Bible said, ask for the old paths. No, we want the new way. We want the new gadget. We got to do it this way and that way. No, the Bible said, ask for the old path. Joel 1:3 says, tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. We are to pass this on from generation to generation. Oh yes, and that's what I'm doing here tonight with what life I've got left and what breath. Brother Lackey, I'm passing it on to you. Brother Larry, I'm passing it on to you. Brother Rick, I'm passing it on to you. Brother Don, I'm passing it on to you. Brother Bertram, I want to get the spirit of Pentecost, one God, Jesus name, apostolic Pentecost, passed on. Oh, let's worship God. God has blessed me to be in the full-time ministry for the last 50 years. I've seen many, many seasons in my life. There's one thing I found out. Old age comes at a bad time. Yeah, I just thought of that the other day. Old age comes at a bad time. I want to say to the coming generation, you understand? I am the passing generation. I'm just about to the door. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done and where there'll be no setting sun. I want to say to the coming generation, I'm passing from the scene. I want to talk to the coming generation tonight. And I want to tell you, I'm not just talking to young preachers. I am talking to teenagers. I am talking to boys and girls that will become teenagers and that will become young men and young ladies. I'm not just making this for the preachers that's coming on of the scene or the missionaries or the evangelists. I'm talking tonight to teenagers that will become men and women in the church, in the local church. I want to talk to us all tonight. I want to say to you, I'm talking to all of the coming generation. And I mean this from my heart. I have faith in you. I have faith in you. And I'm here. Some folks look around and all they see is the bad. In fact, probably some folks come to this conference and all they see is the bad. But I'm telling you what God has showed me of the good. We've got some boys and girls that's going to grow up to be men and women. We got some teenagers that's going to grow up to be young adults. We got some men, young men here that's going to be strong pillars in the local church. We got some young men that's going to be strong preachers of the gospel. I'm here to tell you, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. You that's sitting around and saying, well, I don't know. Ask me. I do know. I'm here to tell you, everything's going to be all right. We got some strong men and women. I believe that. It's going to be all right. There is young men here tonight that's going to be good pastors. They're going to tell it like it is. They're going to be pastors of love and conviction and compassion. You folks that's concerned about some of us older ones passing off of the scene, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There's some young men coming on that's going to stand in these shoes and everything is going to be all right. I'm here to bring a good report tonight. I have faith in the future generation. For the Bible said, up on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's always had a church. He will always have a church. I'm telling you, this church is not going to die when Von Morton dies. When you put me 6 foot under out here at Clovis Cemetery, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right above ground. You know, here a while back, I went out to the graveyard. And I told them out there, I said, I want to pick me out a spot to be buried. All right. They had a fella come up there, one of them little carts, and I could say golf cart, but I don't want to say that. And he got me on that cart, and he took me out there, and he said, now here's open. And you know, it's a funny feeling when you back off and say, I'll take that spot right there. It's a funny feeling. What, you get 70 years old? So we went back up to the office, and I walked in, and that woman was there. I said, did you find your spot? Yep, sure did. I started filling out them papers. I looked up at her. I said, that was on a Friday. I said, you think it could be ready by Tuesday? She looked at me. But I tell you one thing, she came to church on Sunday. This church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm here to tell you, everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. This is God's church. This is a one God, Jesus name, apostolic church. This is not a charismatic church. This is not an emerging church. This is a Jesus. This is a Pentecostal church. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Pentecostal. But I'm not just a Pentecostal. I'm an Acts 2:38 Pentecostal. I'm baptizing in Jesus' name Pentecostal. Come on, young people, catch the spirit of what I'm talking about tonight. Get a hold of this. It's holiness within, holiness without, and separation from the world. Oh, I just got to do this. Then Peter said unto them, I love it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for Acts 2. Thank God for Acts 2:30. Coming generation, love Acts 2:38. Let me tell you, There's a difference in quoting it and knowing it and loving it. Oh, I can't only quote it, and I know it, I've learned it, but I love it. I love it. I love it. I love Acts 2:38. I love it. I want to eat it. I ain't got a wife to kiss, so I just kiss Acts 2:38. Oh, hallelujah. And I don't get no back talk. Hey, we're having revival tonight. This is what you call revival. Oh, I love it. I love Acts 2:38. You may be seated. Now, I ain't going to spend all night telling you to be seated. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just planting some seed here tonight. I'm talking to the coming generation. I'm the bye-bye generation. See you later, alligator. Hey, Just day before yesterday, I was 20 years old, and here I am 70. Now, I'm telling you, it won't be long till some of us are going to be gone. That's right. But I'm going to tell you something else. Acts 2:38, love one God. Some say it's the blessed Holy Trinity or the blessed Holy Three, but the Word of God says in Mark 12:32, for there is one God and there is none other but He. 1 Corinthians 8:4 said, there is none other God but one. 1 Corinthians 8:5-6 said, there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is one God. There is one God. There is one God. The word Trinity's not even in the Bible. No. Bible said in 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Mark 12:29, Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Isaiah 43:3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Not one of the Holy Three, the Holy One. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Which simply means He appeared in the flesh. He showed Himself in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among. I'm telling you, there's just one God. Do you hear me? And Jesus is that God. Jehovah God of the Old Testament became Jesus Christ of the New. Praise God. And I like what the song said tonight. I want to tell you something. I was up here on this platform. I appreciate it again, Brother Bertram. Where's he at? Right there. About time you done something right. You got to keep him humble. But that was right tonight. And then I was standing there thinking, I just want one song tonight from that choir. And I was thinking of what the song was. I didn't say nothing to nobody. I just walked down and Sister Lackey, the choir director, walked to me as she was coming to the platform. Said, we're just singing one song. And she named the very song I had on my mind. Lord, take me back to that old line mark. There I'll make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me to find my direction. Place a love down in my heart. Oh, Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Oh, yeah. 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 This is a songbook. Now, I've done this before, but some of you still backsliding. Yeah, it can get a little, now, it can get a little tight right here. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm telling you what. You don't get it. There is something about these old songs in this old songbook. You get one of these songbooks, you sit down and you read these songs, such as here's one. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead. And it's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father. The King eternally. I could go on and on. Now I'm talking about in the church that I pastor. I don't want none of this screen business. You say, now Brother Morton, you shouldn't get into that. You hang up your screen and I preach. It can get as tight as Dick's handband in here tonight if you want to. It won't bother me. You got to understand, I've been there, done that. You can sit down. I'm talking about me and my house. And let me say this while I'm thinking about it. It's preaching like this. Not because I'm doing it. Through the years where you just turn them old timers. Hey, this ain't nothing. If this was I.H. Terry tonight, or Jimmy Davis, or Brother Bill Garrett that pastored out there at Goshen and Hanford, this ain't nothing. You hear me? This keeps everything balanced. And I don't go for this. So, well, Brother Morton, when you're preaching at a convention or go out a place like that, you need to be careful. I am being careful. If I said everything I thought you'd think, careful. And I think I'm about ready to say it. First, let me say to the next generation, if you want to have success, this is what you got to do. Yeah, the word success is only found in the Bible one time. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You hear me? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in the book. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And let me tell you something. We don't need to be running off to these John Maxwell seminars. Yeah. If you're going to build an apostolic church, you go to apostolic preachers. You go to apostolic, you go to Jesus' name preachers. Yeah, but they ain't no but about it. That's the way it is. This is an apostolic conference. This is a Jesus' name conference. This book called the Bible, we need to learn it, love it, and live it. Learn it, love it, and live it. Learn it, love it, and live it. And by the way, what I'm thinking about, that you see, when you get 70, you got to say it when you think about it. Hey, let me tell you something. Let's stick with the King James Version. There is a spirit in Pentecost that's saying, let's make the NIV the official Bible. Or let's make the new King James Version the official Bible. I say, let's stick with the old path. You say, but, and I know you got your argument and you got your side, but it ain't good enough. I'm sticking with the old path. I'm sticking. This has worked all these years. I ain't interested in a new version and some strobe lights and some fog. If you young preachers want to have good success, do what Brother Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Preach the word. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said in Jeremiah 23:29, the word of God is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Now I won't say, I got to say this while I'm thinking about it. And that's this. One time many, many years ago, Brother Nate Wilson and I was talking. And I'm glad to see Nate Wilson here tonight. His wife's been really, really sick. You need to remember her in your prayer. But she's here tonight. Thank God. But he and I were talking. It was many years ago. Now, don't let me forget that. I'm going to get back to that. This is why, and we were talking about the word of God is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And I thank God that we got through this whole conference without any of these young men doing it. I was afraid they might do it, or at least maybe one of them. I didn't have nobody in mind. I just thought, being young, they might do it. And if they do, I'll embarrass them on Friday night. Aren't you glad you didn't do whatever I'm thinking? And that's this. You young preachers, listen to me. But when you come to the pulpit and you got to get up here and say, everybody going to get with me tonight? Is everybody going to back me up here tonight? And you, everything's got to be hyped and everything's got to be hoo. Or you can't preach. Let me tell you what that's doing to a church. It's sending a church through calisthenics, and they're not doing that for God. They're doing that to keep you from getting on to them. You're doing it for them. They're doing it for you. Now here is the answer. Nate Wilson's the one that gave me this thought. And it was this. You know, he said, Vaughn, he said, if you and I'll just preach the word, he said, it's like a hammer. You know what? I wish I'd have brought a big hammer with me tonight. He said, it's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in peace. He said, Vaughn, if we'll just get up and start preaching that word, swinging that hammer, he said, we're going to get some activity. If this was a hammer night and I started swinging it like this, them old boys is backing up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you, get up and start preaching this word, swinging this hammer. You just preach the word. It'll break the rock in pieces. It'll break the rock in pieces. This business of everybody's got to be screaming and hollering right in your face and saying, pray. Let me tell you, if you'll preach the word, they'll do it without asking for them to do it. I realize some of you don't like this, but I don't care, because I'm telling you the truth. Just preach the word. Swing the hammer. Praise God. I wish I could spend time on all this stuff. But you get what I... If that offended you right then, you can get over it. We still pray. That's right. You say, but you shouldn't do that. No, you shouldn't do what you're doing, or I wouldn't do what I'm doing. I remember a preacher concerning Brother Terry. This is nobody out of Elder Terry's church. Nobody. This was somebody else. A young preacher back in that day when Elder Terry was still pastoring. He said, that old man needs to give that church up and get out of there. Yeah. You know what that young man is today? He ain't young no more. He's a charismatic. The bad kind. There ain't no good kind, but he's a real bad kind. I tell you what, some of these old men that you want out of your way, when you get corn in your crib, then come and tell us how to do it. You say, well, just give us a chance. We're going to give you a chance because we don't want you to make a mess out of it. You'll get your chance. We ain't going to live forever. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. To the next generation, don't forget young men. The young men for war. John, 1 John 2:14 says, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the wicked one. I speak unto you, young men, because you're strong. But remember, old men for counsel. In 2 Chronicles 9th and 10th chapter, it tells us that Solomon died. There rose another generation. Rehoboam became king. And it says that he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him. Young men for war, old men for counsel. I'm thinking right now of three young men. Right now, I could call their names and a lot of you would know them, but I'm not. But, you know, this business of will you be an elder? And I like what somebody said there. I forget who said it. Somebody just come run up to me. I don't know him from Adam's Turkey. And they say, will you be an elder in my life? I don't even know you. Bible said, know them that labor among you. You know, but I take this elder business serious. I made a big decision about 4 years, and I would not make that decision until my elder, Brother Price, gave me permission to make it. I would not make it. And I didn't care if all my friends didn't like it, call me chicken, or whatever they want to call me. I wasn't going to do it till the elder said, it's okay. Praise God. In fact, I done Ron Garrett that way. Remember? I just held your feet to the fire till it was time to take them out. but I'm thinking this one young man pastor in church, he said he called me and they was having problems, and I'm his elder, and when I got there to take care of his problem, he was the problem. And so I started dealing with him, and he called me in a few days and said, look, you don't need this problem. Said, I'm going to get me another elder. You don't need all this. And he wrecked. That's a true story. He wrecked. And then there was another young man, and he really, really didn't have no... He was pastoring church, and man, he was doing good and winning people, and him and his wife talked to me, and it seemed right. And about a year later, I thought, you know, I need to talk to him about something. And we just sat down in an office, and I just kindly talked. I mean, I just felt like there's some things he needed to know. He sat there and listened to me, and I thought, boy, this is real good. As soon as I got through, he didn't even grunt. He just looked at me and said, I'm going to get me another elder. Because I didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. He wrecked. I'm not proud of it, but he did. There was another situation. And a few of us preachers was called in on it, and we judged it. We didn't judge it according to this one young man's way. He called me in a few days and said, "I'm doing away with this elder business." He wrecked. I'm telling you, you need these elders in your life. Saints need pastors, and preachers need elders. And you got to mean it. You say, "You're saying that because you're an old man." No, I'm saying it because it's Bible. It's biblical. It's right. It's right. One time, Brother Howard and Brother Tommy Johnson and I, we went somewhere none of your business. But we went somewhere. And this pastor, this is a full-grown man, pastors a good church. And we went there, we talked to him, and we prayed. We found the mind of God. And boy, it was a hard decision. And we told him what we felt like the will of God was. And I'm telling you what, he did it. He listened, and he hadn't wrecked. Them others wrecked. If you listen, you won't wreck. Proverbs 22 and 28 said, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Every once in a while, we need to go back and touch them old landmarks. That's what we're doing tonight. Young people, let me say this. Don't take down a fence until you find out why us old men put it up. There's too many fences being taken down. Some of you just can't wait till some older ministers get out of the way so you can take the fence down. It reminds me of the old boy that this old fella, he was an old timer, and he'd worked on this ranch for many, many years. And the fella that he'd worked for sold it out to a young dude. And this young dude come in, and he started changing things around. He said to the old man, he said, "Tear that fence down." The old man said, "I wouldn't do that if I was you." He said, "No, you tear that fence down. I want that fence tore down. I run this ranch now. Tear it down." That's just like some young preacher going in and taking a church and start changing everything real fast and blah, 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 blah. And so the old man, he said, "All right, you stand right here and I'm going to tear the fence down." He said, "I'll stand here because I won't see the fences tore down." And so the old man, he got him a sledgehammer and he knocked the fence down. And behind that fence was a great big old Brammer bull. He said, "Why didn't you tell me?" He said, "You didn't ask. I didn't know that Brammer bull." I'm telling you what, you don't take down some fences that we put up till you find out why we put them up. There's a devil behind that fence. There's a Brammer bull behind that fence. I thank God for the elders that's been in my life. I thank God for my dear pastor that's been dead over 35 years, Brother Rohde. I thank God for Brother J.D. I'm naming folks tonight that some of you don't even know. Brother J.D. Dansby and Brother Carl Ballastero, Brother I.H. Terry, Brother Verbal Bean, Brother Clyde Haney, Brother Jimmy Davis, Brother Bill Garrett, Brother David Gray. Now these men have gone on to be with the Lord, but I thank God for the influence that these men left on us. And thank God, Brother Price is still with us. Amen. Praise God. In fact, I brought something along here tonight that the elders put this fence up long time ago. In fact, if I remember right, David Gray wrote this. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. It said, "We wholeheartedly disapprove of our people indulging in any activities which is not conducive to good Christianity and godly living, such as theaters." This was a fence that was put up by the elders years ago. We used to call it the picture show. Now you can just pick up your, whatever you call them things, you haul around in your pocket and watch your show. It's sin. I didn't say it was displeasing. I said it's sin. I'm telling you, Hollywood is sin. Pornography is sin. It's sin. It's not a matter of opinion. It's sin. And this internet, I'm telling you, this technology, it's driving these preachers crazy. And if you're a preacher and it's not driving you crazy, something's wrong with you. If you feel comfortable and it don't bother you, preacher, there's something wrong with you. Because I'm telling you, it bothers me. I care. I'm concerned. I don't know everything that I know, but I know what's wrong and what's right. I'm taking the safe route. Brother White said this is a safe place. We're going to keep this a safe place. And I'm telling you what, when I pass on and this conference lives on and somebody comes and they start changing everything, I'm not talking about the sign or the sound or the, probably somebody wish we'd change that, but anywhere or this or that. But I'm talking about men that come to this pulpit. I'm talking about strange doctrines, whatever. I'm telling you what, you pack your suitcase and get out. Don't come back to West Coast Conference. And you say, Brother Morton, this is, we got a lot of churches here tonight. You shouldn't be talking this way. That's why I'm talking that way. And if you're a preacher and you're afraid for your people to come to a place like this, there's something wrong with you. I'd rather for somebody to preach it stronger than I preach it than to preach it weaker than I preach it. But this, I'm telling you this, if you're comfortable and I can't be, it bothers me, 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 it bothers me. Yeah. You say, Brother Morton, you just don't know enough about it. I don't want to know enough about it. It said dances and mixed bathing and or swimming. A lot of people's got swimming pools nowadays. I'm telling you, it's still wrong to go mix swimming, the boys and the girls together. You work it out with your immediate family. I'm reading. I didn't do this. The elders built this fence. It said women cutting their hair, makeup. That goes for dyed hair too, men and women. Dyed hair. And I can prove that by the Bible. Makeup. That goes for all that makeup. Any apparel that immodestly exposes the body. And that goes for slits too. I'm not doing anything new. Von Morton's been preaching like this ever since he was 19 years old. Crossing this desert. This ain't nothing new. This is the way I've always done it. And it's worked. It's worked. It's worked. And I'm telling the saints that are here tonight from the church that I pastor, I'm telling you, if things change at Truth Tabernacle, when I'm dead or gone, I'm telling you, go across town to Brother Lackey's church. That's right. And you receive them too, boy. Not yet. That's right. When I shouldn't say this, but I'm almost to the door. What difference does it make? Why don't y'all sit down? You're not going to rush me. You ain't putting no pressure on me. Hey, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, I know what I was going to say. And when I say it, somebody's going to think the Holy Ghost really won't even forget it. But I'm telling you what, in the church that I'm pastoring, I'll say it that way. If the church that I'm pastoring sets a course, I mean really sets a course in the wrong direction, get out. I'm telling you. Don't you be a troublemaker in your church. Boy, I'll get fire over this one. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stand right here and tell you, there ain't a place in me you can shoot me where there ain't a hole already. I got 50 years of shots in me. And like my grandson says, Drew, he says, Papa's at the end of the road, at the edge of the cliff. Don't spook his horse or he'll go over. Don't spook my horse. I'm telling you what. There's too many fences being taken down. It says, oh, I know. Yeah, that slit business. Now you see it, now you don't. 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 If you don't like that, see Kenneth Bagland. I got that from Kenneth Bagland. Now you see it, now you don't. And I'm gonna tell you, preacher, something. Sit down so I can tell you something. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, preacher, something. And y'all out there too. This business of preaching, well, women, get your dresses below your knees. That ain't good enough. Below your knees can be right there. But when they sit down, move that Bible, and they got a wiggle and worm and squirm in there. I'm telling you, we ladies need to get their dresses down here, about 10 inches from the floor. Let's lengthen these dresses. Oh, I feel good about this tonight. One generation cometh and another generation passeth. I'm telling you, it's preaching, not because I'm doing it, but it's just wild preaching like this that's brought us to where we're at. That's what made PSR, and that's what's making West Coast come. I got to finish this. It says, and I ain't looking at my clock either. It says, and all appeal that it modestly exposes the body. Need to get these necklines up. And you men need to keep your sleeves below your elbows. That's right. And tight pants. That's right. And it says here, I didn't. Hey, listen, the elders wrote this. I didn't. But I believe it. It says all worldly sports. I'm telling you, there's too many people going to these professional football games, basketball games, watching it on television. Now you think because you watch it on the internet that it's so. It's not. I'm telling you, there's a demon of sports in this world. Competitive sports is not right. And churches joining leagues. And I remember when we fought that out here in California. And we voted it out. But some of them went ahead and done it. And where are they at? Every single one of them. I could name every one of them. Praise God. I know, because I was the one that wrote the resolution. Finally, I got to build me a little fence. And it said, furthermore, because of the display of all these evils on television, we disapprove of any of our people having television sets in their homes. We admonish all of our people to refrain from any of these practices in the interest of spiritual progress and the soon coming of the Lord for His church. And there's more. You say, oh, Brother Morton's out of tune. Television ain't nothing. I know that. But I'm talking about internet too that's wrong. I'm talking about anything that's Hollywood. Anything that's Hollywood. Anything that's Hollywood. Yeah. Won't watch the news on television, but they'll watch it on internet. Whoa! I know somebody right here in this city that don't come to my church anymore because they watch church on the internet. It's a Jesus Name Apostolic Church. They watch that. And while I'm thinking of that, I'm going to say this too. Our elders many, many years ago, they built a fence concerning television and said it should not. I remember when I got old enough in God and my old pastor took me in to his living room and showed me a knob on his radio. It was a big stand-up radio. He said, see that knob right there? It says TV. He said, let me tell you, this is fixed where they can put a TV in. He said, Vaughn, don't ever do that. That is not right. He said, I'll never do that. He wouldn't even let them show a film strip in his church. That's right. I'm telling you, all this technology that we're moving in, it's leading in the wrong direction. It's leading in the wrong direction. It's a breakdown. It is a breakdown. It really is. Let's raise our hands and worship God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord God Almighty. Oh, blessed God in Jesus' name. Hey, the elders built a fence and said, no television. Yeah. And a few years back, I made a big decision. And I walked out because of television. You think I'm going to do that and then go on the internet and have live internet? No way. I didn't just think of this yesterday. This has always been a conviction with me. I don't want the church that I pastor on live internet. Some things happen in church I pastor sometime. I don't want nobody to see it. And I say some things, I don't want nobody to hear it. What if this was live internet tonight? Man, wouldn't this be good going out to all the world? You say, well, if it's that bad, you shouldn't do it. Yeah, in this setting, we do it. Boy, you sort of get mixed feelings here tonight, but mixed feelings don't bother me none. Because I got a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Well, hallelujah. What am I going to do? I'm going to preach the word. I will set no wicked thing before me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Praise God. Don't take them fences down. Praise God. Remember, coming generation, remember, you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. I want to stand here flat-footed tonight and say, I've got confidence in you, young men. I've got confidence in you, young ladies. I got confidence in you, young adults. I got confidence in you, young marriage. I got confidence in you, young people. Everything's going to be all right as long as somebody will scream and holler like I'm screaming and hollering tonight. And I tell you, the other day, I read this in a magazine, and this is a setting. This is a setting. This is a setting where there's, if I remember the article right, there's about 300 youth leaders and stuff gathered together. This is Jesus' name. Ooh, Brother Vaughn. Anyway, they're teaching them how to have church. And the picture on here, the fellas, shirt tails hanging out, don't have on a suit, don't have on a tie. I'm telling you, preachers, we're not a merchant church. I'm not Pastor Vaughn. I'm Brother Morton. That's right. You ain't Pastor Phil. No. I'm going to tell you young men something. Comb your hair. Comb your hair. I don't care. I don't care if you parted on the left or the right or right square down the middle. Put a comb through your hair. This spiked up junk. These long sideburns. This is apostolic. This ain't nothing new. I've been preaching this for 50 years. You say, but it's just a youth service. We want to win the young people, and so we're going to let our shirt tails hang out. Hey, right here in this city where I'm pastoring, I mean, it's a large church. I talked to somebody that's been going there for a long time, and they said, oh, I got another story to tell. They said, we don't know if the preacher's going to come with his shirt tail hanging out and he's got Levi's on or not. I ain't talking about some little church on the corner. And I'll tell you something else. I just preached a funeral last week. And this was a Trinitarian person that was baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they changed pastors there. And the preacher, he don't wear a suit, don't wear a tie. Don't know if he's going to wear Levi's or his shirt hanging out. And I'm telling you, this old saint said, I want that preacher over there. I want Brother Morton to bury me. Now, let me say this. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and believe in one God to go to heaven. But I can bury anybody.
Right.
Bury him in Jesus' name. But there was something in this old person that my preacher don't look like a preacher. Hey, you see these men sitting up here? They look like preachers. Yeah. Yeah. I said, Brother Morton, times are changing. No, oh, no. There's some things ain't never going to change. There's some young men that preach at this conference, they'll never change. They'll be preaching this when I'm dead and gone. Praise God. And this jewelry business and all this junk in the hair. Ooh. Hey, remember, I'm almost out the door. And some of you would like to slam the door on me when I go out. You just try it. I'll come back through that door. Work your motor over in Jesus' name. All this jewelry trying to come back into Pentecost. Bracelets and necklaces and earrings and various ornaments for the hair and cufflinks and watches that look like bracelets and friendship rings and birthstone rings and class rings and engagement rings and wedding rings. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. This is the narrow way. Oh, yeah. And I tell you something. Hey, this bowling alley business stuff. The bowling alley's still off limits. The skating rink's still off limits. this is just old time preaching. Say, well, this ain't old time. Oh yeah, it is old time. This is why we're having West Coast coming. It's this kind of preaching that got us here. We used to never go to the skating rink, never, and still don't. But anyway, there was one preacher that preached against it, but he said, I decided to go rent the skating rink and take my young people. And so they rented the skating rink and they went. And then he said, a week or two or whatever it was later, he said, I was driving down that street by the skating rink and I saw some of my young people lined up out there. You know what he done? They'd never been there before, but he familiarized them with it. Now they know how to line up, get in line, and go in and skate to the music. I know some of you think this is crazy. This is the safe route. My motto's always been, we're going to take the safe route. We're not going to walk over here close to the edge. Somebody might spook my horse. I might fall. I'm going to get way over here. That's why I'm preaching like this, because I'm going to stay way over here. And I tell you something else we need to get back to. Foot washing and communion. How long has it been since you had foot washing? How long has it been since you had communion? Hey, I know of a church, a big Jesus name church. They haven't had foot washing in probably 40 years. The preacher told me, he said, we don't have foot washing anymore because our church is so big. Clifford Clark answered that. He just spoke up and said, well, man, buy more pans. You know, that it took a rocket science. Even Clifford Clark can figure that out. He said, just buy more pans. We need to have foot washing. We need to have communion. Let's get back to the old path. Ain't nothing like foot washing communion. Let's raise our hands and worship God. Oh, let's worship God. Let's worship God. Praise God. I ain't got time to get into everything tonight, but you get the spirit of what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to tell you, we can have outward holiness till the cows come home. But it starts on the inside. You hear me? Holiness starts on the inside. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We got to get this hate and jealousy and competition out of our heart. Root of bitterness. Praise God. Well, I guess I better look at my clock. Ah, man, we got plenty of time. Y'all ain't gonna do nothing but play basketball and eat pizza. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I want these young men and young ladies. I want the coming generation, these boys and girls, I want them to remember a red-faced preacher, a sweating and preaching against everything he could think about. I want you to get the spirit of this. I want the spirit on these men. I want the spirit. Oh, God, give it to them. Give it to them. Give it to them. Oh, let's shout. Praise God. Sit down, because there's one real important thing I got to cover, and that's revival and evangelism. Ain't nothing like old-fashioned revival. And let me tell you something. This is revival preaching tonight. I'm going to tell you something. When Nate Wilson and I were evangelists back in 1914 or whenever it was, let me tell you, we would go into churches and preachers wanted you to preach like this. We'd preach like this, I'm telling you, in local churches. And when I retire, if you want me to preach for you, this is what's going to come. You understand? I'm going to preach against everything in your church I see that I think's wrong. You say, but Brother Morton, that ain't right. Well, don't ask me. But there's somebody that wants it. If you want a revival church, you'll get a revival preacher. Let me tell you something. I ain't no pastor. I come to Fresno 38 years ago this month as an evangelist, walking the backs of the pews and throwing songbooks. You say, man, you shouldn't have done that. I got to be pastor, didn't I? You can't kick success. We had revival. Everybody talked in tongues. Even Ron Garrett, he's just a teenager then. Did you talk in tongues? Are you still talking in tongues? Right now, you really feel like it, don't you? Right now. You say, you shouldn't talk to him that way. That's disrespectful. Oh, no, it ain't. That's my son. That's right. I tell you what, real young preachers that want to, they don't care when their preacher roughs them up a little bit. Praise God. Revival preaching is when you get in there and preach against sin and cast out devils and make them get rid of their jewelry and their ungodly clothes and their television. I remember one church I was preaching in, they got rid of 14 televisions. But they wouldn't have if I hadn't preached against them, but they got rid, and we had revival. Preacher, don't be afraid to preach. Revival preaching brings evangelism. They ain't nothing like evangelism. Ain't nothing like praying people through to the Holy Ghost. We got to have revival in our churches. We've got to have evangelism in our churches. Let's worship God. Let's worship God. Let's worship God. Let's worship God. Oh, let's worship God. Itakata bahasaya. Come on, let's worship God. Itakata, come on, worship God. We're going to spend a little time praising the Lord. Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Oh God, give us revival and evangelism. And you can say, you can't build a church like that. Oh, you want to come and see? Don't tell me I can't build a church like that. We built churches like that all over Fresno. This pussyfooting around don't get the job done. But you got to have a good spirit. Like me. Praise God. I'm looking for somebody right now and I can't see them. And everybody that knows me is hoping I ain't talking about them. I'm looking. All right. I can't see them. It was brand new converts. I've been seeing them right down here in the front. Baptized in Jesus' name. Want them off the bus ministry. Just did. Baptize them in Jesus' name. Pray them through the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah, they ain't never been in a conference like this, but they love it, 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 Nikki, come up here. I just seen you. Come up here. You can be seated. See this girl here? I'm telling you, I got a bunch of them like this. And you ugly boys, leave her alone. I'm in a fighting mood tonight. You don't mess with me tonight. You don't want to ask to go out with one of my girls tonight. That goes for them Idaho boys too. Hey, see this girl here? She started attending our church. How old was you?
4.
4 years old. How old are you now?
15.
She's 15. She's baptized in Jesus' name. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. Nobody in her family lives for God. She comes to church by herself. She loves God. She loves this message. She loves holiness. And we love her. Hallelujah. I got a bunch of them. Come on. Let's all stand. Let's worship God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's worship God. Let's worship. Come on, saints. Come on. Let's pray the spirit of revival and evangelism will get a hold of us. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, take me back. You know what I feel like God wants here tonight? He wants us to make a commitment to the future. He wants us to go back and touch the old landmarks and make a commitment to the future. Let's sing it.